and we have to make it clearer. A lot of people think that the whole conversation about fixing the country and fix the country is about a bunch of young people who want to get onto the streets and nothing more. It's connected to a broader conversation about how do we seek to hold our institutions accountable outside of the framework of traditional institutions. And because a lot of those institutions, through purposeful planning and intentional sabotage, have been corrupted from within. And there's a huge state capture that disallows those institutions to hold the executive and exercise of power generally to account. So we want to be able to center those who exercise power to account through civic mechanisms. And the protest is only one of those instruments. It's part of the conversation and a broader conversation. But we think that there are several other ways that ground our democracy better. There are several other ways that make it possible for us to be able to hold institutions to account, that we want to be able to deploy as complementary mechanisms rather than one-off situation.
So, Oliver, what necessitated this campaign?
For the very first time, organization around the protests and the planning of the protest have happened outside the frameworks of traditional mobilizers, which is the political parties in Ghana. In this case, just the attractiveness of a hashtag became a shorthand for people to express various forms of frustrations that have happened and that they are facing in the country. And we've run the analytics on this. Since this whole thing started, we've had 8 million Ghanaians tweeting, fix the country, right? That's unprecedented in the kind of number of people who are talking and the kind of issues and range of issues they are talking about. So I have always said that the point at which people became interested in the conversation and joined the conversation, the reasons behind it are so multiple that they are unimpeachable. Personally, for me, I became interested in the conversation and my sense of, you know, consciousness around it became amplified around this time and in this period where very recently a chancellor of one of the universities in Ghana, Sam Jonah, gave a speech called down the up elevator.
Since your Fix the Country hashtag went viral in Ghana, some officials have called for Ghanaians to fix their attitude before the country can be fixed. What is your response to that?
I feel disappointed that it was deployed in opposition to what you were saying. And as such, it stifled the need for a grounded conversation about what it will take and the citizens' role in that process. Does leadership have a role to play in fixing themselves? Is the wanton disregard for Ghanaian laws and rules by political establishment or elites in the country immune from the conversation about fixing themselves? So I think, you know, we need to be, I think my reflex is that we need to be grounded in the way in which, and nuanced in the way in which we have the conversation. And I think that the paternalistic ways in which that fix yourself narrative was deployed stifled the need for a broader conversation and failed to show leadership.
Well, Oliver Barker, some critics are saying that your campaign of Fix the Country, which has since gone viral, is aimed at undermining the current administration and making the government unpopular before the next general election in Ghana. How do you respond to that?
You know, that's a very familiar argument. I do think, if the opposition were in government today, they would be saying the same thing. It has become such a reflex and deep, you know, knee-jerk response that it's absolutely something one would expect. But let me say these two things. One, we are anticipating and hoping that the government would work with us rather than against us. That they appreciate that there's a lot more opportunity for them to win and be better. They are committed to winning an election. And I think that what a lot of young people are saying, or a lot of people are saying in this country, is the biggest and the best framework for winning an election. All you have to do is be genuinely interested in the conversation. Secondly, in our democracy, we've generally had a two-party state where parties go and party come. There's never any point where you can have this conversation where there will be no government in place. Like, it's almost impossible then to hold institutions to account because there's going to be a government that feels sensitive about it.